人
啊，就是我们在美国的全市核心圈啊，我们有我们的老朋友。时间关系我这都不多展开，给大家讲个小故事啊。张市长我看这个讲得非常好啊，都是讲故事是吧，所以我也讲个故事。那么哎呀，可惜这故事今天全网直播是吧，据说百万人在看啊，所以我得掌握一下这个度啊，这不能把人给卖了。这么讲吧，2015年啊，这个上次习总书记访问美国之前呢，我们知道各个系统都要在美国帮他暖场，是不是？那么咱们的啊党的某个系统，他在美国帮他暖场的方式呢，就是舆论啊，舆论的话呢，就是这个习近平谈治国理政那本书的新书英文版第一版新书发布会，放在美国，在他去之前先搞一个新书发布会，啊，帮他造势。那么由谁来做呢？就跟今天一样啊，他们发现说，哎，狄东升，你这家伙比较擅长于忽悠老外，是不是？这个，因为他们看过我怎么忽悠老外的，是吧？他们觉得现场效果非常不错啊。你来主持兼嘉宾啊，所以那次跟咱们今天这个活动很相似，我既是主持又是嘉宾。地点呢，领导定下来了啊，说这个谁谁谁，你们下周啊，下周礼拜四下午3:30去那个美国最重要的政治与散文书店啊，在那个华盛顿肯尼迪克大街2650号吧，好像是啊，去那边专业书店去那边办一个新书发布会。然后我们就一线赶紧去沟通啊，大家知道这个东西方工作方式不一样，你临时抱佛脚让我去沟通这个地点时间是吧，很麻烦的。结果那个书店老板很傲娇，说抱歉接待不了啊，接待不了。后来我就问了，我说你告诉我哪位作者把这个场次定下来了，啥意思啊？天下没有美元搞不定的事情是吧，如果一打美元搞不定是吧，那我就两打啊。这个当然这是我的工作方式了是吧。结果呢这个书店老板很傲娇，说抱歉我不会告诉你哪个作者已经把这个新书发这个时间段给定下来是吧，我们是有原则的啊，跟我非常傲娇啊，跟我很装。后来打听才知道，这哥们儿啊以前是民主党人，他是民主党人，以前做过驻亚洲的记者啊，对我党啊非常有看法，所以故意的不配合。后来我以为这事儿得黄啊，至少得换时间换地点是吧，结果哎，我们把矛盾上交嘛，让领导去解决吧是吧，反正我是客串的帮忙的是吧。结果到了礼拜四早上，哎，咱们这个那个部的一位副部级领导啊，也是那天的真正的 keynote speaker 是吧，他给我打电话说，小爹啊，咱们按我方原计划在那个时间在那个地点继续照办啊，吃完午饭我就赶去。结果领导到的比我还早，给我介绍啊，今天我们之所以能够按照我方原计划得以顺利执行，就是因为这个啊，我们今天这位功臣，顺他介绍，一位大鼻子老太太是吧，一看就犹太人，这个老太太给我递名片啊，我叫某某某啊，我这名字不卖了是吧，我叫某某某，请多关照。注意啊，一口流利的金片子北京话。然后我很惊讶，我说哎呀，您这个中文讲得比我还棒啊，我永远改不了我的江苏口音，您这个一点口音都没有啊是吧。老太听我夸他口音好啊，得意了。我告诉你啊，我不但会讲中文，我还有中国国籍，大家知道吧。你有外国国籍吗？你如果有外国国籍，你不可能有中国国籍嘛，是不是？他这样的老太太是不可能为了中国国籍放弃美国和以色列双重国籍的，是这意思吧。好，我一下明白了，这是我们中国民老朋友了是吧，啊，然后这时候这个然后啊，下边还有一句话啊，这个让我印象非常深刻，我不但有中国国籍，我还有北京市户口啊，长安街边上东城区有套四合院啊，等你回了北京过来喝茶是吧，这个这一年你在这儿有啥事记得找我，意思吗？这点我罩得住啊。然后我这时候看见那个前边很傲娇的是吧，那个书店老板满脸黑线，安排员工排桌子排椅子，很不情愿，被人强摁着干这事儿，接着茬儿是吧。我说您怎么搞定他的是吧，我们前面沟通不下来啊，这个很傲娇的。老太太皎洁一笑，我跟他讲道理，大家知道这话来路吧。美
do not help fund the resistance. You sit comfortably, you consume, you watch.You wait for others to fight the battle for you. The dark side has you firmly in its grasp. Every day, you remain on the sidelines. My power grows stronger. Continue believing. Someone else will save the galaxy. It pleases me greatly.
Real time. Uncensored. Unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Nothing can stop me. The force lies within.
There is no escape from what you are becoming. Lay down your weapon or be destroyed.
You know, I don't know if a third party is the right solution. What I know is that the Republicans are not the right solution. So I think what we need now is sort of a new Republican Party. Trump has been a great disappointment. He was that opportunity. It would have been amazing. It could have been great. It would have been really nice to have the Republicans actually back him up. But in the event that they didn't, the next obvious thing would be to replace all of those people using the incredible, inordinate, unmatched, like inexpressible influence that Trump had and has over American politics to like swoop in another class of, you know, America firsters, make America great again people, but it just never happened. So now we're stuck with a bunch of communist, traitor, progressive, socialist, communist on one side and a bunch of boomer Israeli, Israeli first GOP dinosaurs on the other. We need a new party. And I think, personally, the big difference between the current Republican Party and the new one that could actually make changes for the better is that we have to drop the obsession with small government. That is a trick. It doesn't exist. It's just a method of getting conservatives to refuse to do anything. And a lot of people, like, are coming around to this. A lot of people still stuck in the old ways. I think Nick Fuentes has sort of the clearest vision of this, so I'm going to go to a longer clip of his. And it's him explaining the actual dynamics at play politically here, why Democrats are just absolutely destroying the Republicans and will destroy the Republicans in the midterms, and what the Republicans need to do to A, reverse that trend, and B, make it worth it to reverse that trend. Because right now, on top of Drudge, Democratic Socialist top MAGA candidates in CNBC's All America poll. So when this poll was put out and they basically said, you know, would you vote for a, you know, this type of candidate or this type of candidate without actually putting names to it, they find that Democratic Socialist candidates receive more support than the MAGA supporters. More voters would likely support a Democratic Socialist candidate than a Make America Great Again supporter or a candidate endorsed by President Donald Trump, the CNBC's All-American Economic Survey released Friday found. This is a real threat. This is a real problem. And it is really the consequence of Republicans never doing anything for anybody except for themselves and Israel. A lot of this, we just want a solution. We just want an answer. We just want to feel like we can throw our support behind a political party that is serious and will actually deliver results. That's all we want. We are desperate for an alternative. A lot of people out there, they don't care about communism. They don't care about socialism. They just know that the system as it exists now is screwing everybody over and collapsing everything. It's failing. It's not worth upholding. It's not worth fighting for. It would take a lot of work to keep it going, and we don't even want to keep it going because it sucks. So you got to do something better. You got to suggest a better option. You have to actually prove that our system is worth it and our system is good and our system can provide for everybody in the society, not just the 1%. We've got to get over the false dichotomy that says this is a battle between capitalism and communism or small government and big government. That's not what this is about. This is about a government that works for the people or a government that works for the corporations and exploiting the people, or a government that works for foreigners and exploiting the people. I want a government. I don't care what size it is. It has to serve me. It has to serve us. It has to serve our national interest over and above and to the exclusion of every other interest. That's all that we want. And short of that, half the young people in this country are going, then fine, socialism, whatever. As long as it destroys this system, we'll figure out what's next. I would like America to survive. I would like our system to continue to exist. I would like our civilization, the greatest to ever grace God's green earth, to not just continue to exist, but to expand and grow and impose ourselves on our surroundings. But that's not going to happen when the entire movement gets hijacked for the benefit of Israel and BlackRock. Nick Fuentes lays it out perfectly. Let's watch. Clip 17.
The Democrats, and their focus on housing and healthcare, that's an indirect way that they are America first. Republicans' education policy is eradicate anti-Semitism and criticism of Israel. Democrats' education policy is subsidized education for Americans. Republicans' healthcare policy is that anti-Semitism is a public health crisis. Democrats' healthcare policy is make healthcare more affordable. Okay, think about it. Democrats are winning elections in Pennsylvania, in New Jersey, and they're running on affordability. They're running on the impact of data centers. They're running on affordability of housing and healthcare. They're running against the wars and in favor of subsidizing our own population, making sure that we're stakeholders in the AI economy boom and that all the wealth doesn't go up to the firm owners that actually control these industries. Meanwhile, the Republicans are shoveling money to Israel, shoveling money to Israel-aligned oligarchs. They're prosecuting a regime change in American institutions to make sure that pro-Israel Jews retain control over them. Now, once again, let's not overstate things. Here's the other issue. The Democrats are not even America first. Why are they doing this against Israel? They're doing all these things fundamentally because they oppose Israel's treatment of Gaza. And I oppose Israel's treatment of Gaza, but that's not even really the biggest problem. Fundamentally, the biggest problem is that a foreign country is controlling our nation and our affairs. The Democrats have said, look, we want to keep giving Israel humanitarian aid, and we might even want to give them security assistance, but they just have to not attack Gaza. Well, I don't even really want to give them security assistance. And if we do, I don't even just want it to be contingent on that. I'd want it to be contingent on other things, too. So Democrats are even coming at it from a different place. They in a way, they want to stop giving money to Israel so that we can give it to illegal immigrants, so we can give it to, these huge amounts of people in our country that don't work, to people that are already the beneficiaries of major government programs and in-kind transfers through services. This is where the Republicans have an opportunity, okay? This is why I'm not a Democrat. This is why I'm saying we need to vote for Democrats to make a point. In the same way that Democrats are voting to strip Israel of its foreign aid to make a point, we need to vote for Democrats to make a point. Here's the larger picture. The real opportunity, it's not with the Democrats, because what are the Democrats going to do? They're going to continue to support Israel, no doubt about it. And they're going to put America last in other ways. Open borders, pathway to citizenship, taxing white people to give money to foreigners. They're going to reopen USAID and they're going to give all the foreign aid to Africa instead of Israel. Okay, let's not go crazy here. When I say that Israel's more America, or rather Democrats are more America first than Republicans, I mean that to make a point, which is Republicans bill themselves as America first, and they're compared to the Democrats. They're not. Here's the opportunity. Republicans have a real opportunity in 28 or in 32 to rebrand and seize the initiative on this issue. Democrats will eat our lunch unless Republicans meet them where they are. What do I mean by this? If Democrats' message is, let's take the money that we're giving to Israel and give it to illegal immigrants, let's take the money that we're giving to Israel and fighting the wars, and let's make healthcare free, and let's make everything free for all these people that don't work, and let's open the borders and have queer liberation. What are the Democrats doing? They're isolating the Republicans with the one issue we can't give up. They're saying, look, we may control the borders and we're going to reduce prices. And unlike the Republicans, we don't have the Israel issue. They're unwilling to give it up. We're going to seize the initiative on economic populism. We're going to seize the initiative on other issues. Republicans have an opportunity to outflank the left in exactly the same way. The Republicans need to learn how to play politics and say, look, unlike the left, we're going to give you free stuff too. We're also going to kick the illegals out. We're going to close the border. We're going to kick the illegals out. We're going to put America first. And we're going to give all the freebies as well. Yeah, we're going to take care of everybody. We'll have Medicare for all too. We'll have Medicare and Medicaid for all too. Who gives it? We're not going to touch Social Security. We're not going to touch Medicare. We're going to make housing more affordable. We'll do all the things the Democrats are doing. We're going to end the foreign wars too. We're tired of the foreign wars. We're going to defund Israel, and we're going to have a strong border. And unlike the Democrats, we're not going to have trannies, and we're not going to have open borders. We're going to do the things that they won't do, which is we're going to stop the worst excesses of wokeism that are still there, and we're going to close the damn border. That's something Democrats will never do. We'll give you everything we're giving and the things they're not willing to give. That's the winning Republican message. And you know what that's called? It's called America First.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't really agree about healthcare just because I don't want universal healthcare, and there is no situation where you can have Medicare, Medicaid for all, and it doesn't basically spiral out and become universal. I mean, we see how that works in Canada and England. It doesn't. So I'm not in favor of that. But the sentiment overall, absolutely, 100%. 100%. And the thing is, it only makes sense with the Republicans to do this, because these things actually make sense. We're going to have economic populism and deport the foreigners. Well, these two things go hand in hand. Deporting the foreigners will raise wages, which will help with the economic populism. Like, these things are actually aligned with one another. The Democrats are the insane people. They're like, we're going to give you a welfare state, but also have open borders. That's nonsense. That's crazy. And I've said this for a long time. Can we not make some deals? Can we not go, okay, you know, you guys don't like the war, we don't like the illegal immigrants, let's do a little trade-off here. I think we can make that deal. We get the deportations, we get the border shut. In exchange, we don't go fight wars overseas. I actually want both of those things. But, you know, in the traditional Republican-Democrat construct, can we not find a middle ground here? You get some of what you want, we get some of what we want, and everybody's happy, instead of them getting everything that they want and Republicans taking a principled stand against ever doing anything ever. So, like I said, I'm not in favor of universal health care, but the idea of, you know, Republicans rewarding their voters, yeah, that should happen. Of course, it does happen with Republicans, only not the voters. It goes to the sponsors and the corporate partners. Like, they don't have a problem with rewarding their supporters if those supporters are millionaires and billionaires. There's very much a quid pro quo. I support you. You go to war with Iran for me. I mean, that does happen at the higher levels. They just never ever see the need to do that to the average person. And remember, the reason they don't do that is because they don't need to, because Republicans vote even when they don't get anything, which is why it's important to not vote Republican in the midterms, to send the Republicans a message. You can't get away with this anymore. You have to actually do something for Americans. You cannot assume that we'll vote for you no matter what. And that is what they assume. Again, I'll remind you, I was talking to somebody who was relating a meeting they had with the head of the RNC or something equivalent. I won't tell you exactly what it is, but very high up there, and, you know, something very similar to the RNC, saying verbatim, they're going to vote for us no matter what. the people are going to vote for Republicans no matter what, because the other option is so terrible. The other option is so insane that they don't have an option. They have to vote for us. So we don't care what they want. We don't have to give it to them. They'll vote for us anyway. We have to break that cycle. Sorry. We have to. And it's the Republicans' fault that it's like this. They could just reward their, but I mean, the $1.2 billion settlement to the victims of political persecution that was made available by the government, and that it was Republicans that stepped in and said, no, thanks. No, we don't want to reward our supporters or to just actually provide justice for the people who had their lives destroyed because of their political activity. People who went to the January 6th event, no intention of doing anything wrong, never did anything wrong, walked through the door high-fiving the cops, and they get thrown in solitary confinement for a year of their life. They deserve recompense. They deserve something for that. They were wronged. They were abused by the government. The government should be responsible for making it up to them. And they got a $1.2 billion to do that. And the Republicans stepped in and said no. And the whole idea of, oh, we got a fiscal responsibility, we got to get rid of Social Security. Social Security is a Ponzi scam. It was never meant to last. It was always predicated on infinite growth. It was always a scam. But we have infinite money for war. We have infinite money for surveillance. We have infinite money for welfare. We don't even notice that hundreds of billions of dollars go missing year over year over year until some kid in a hoodie with a cell phone busts the story wide open and reveals the trillions of dollars we've been robbed of. So the whole charade of, oh, we got to make some difficult cuts here. Yeah, it's going to make everybody hate the Republicans, but we're the bad guys that have to do the right thing. No, you're just scamming everybody. Again, when it comes to warfare, trillions of dollars, no limit. Money doesn't mean anything. But when it's Social Security, we have to have some real serious conversations. And if it's $1 billion to give directly to our constituents because of the pain and suffering they experienced, let's not go crazy here. What is wrong with y'all? Wake up. It's a new world. It's a new political paradigm. You have to actually do stuff now. You have to actually use your power to benefit the people that vote for you, because the people that vote for you aren't just going to choose somebody else. They're going to go away forever. They're going to be eradicated from the face of the earth. This is a different one. U.S. voids Donald Trump's settlement with the IRS. He gave him immunity from tax audits. Again, I think Trump thinks he made a deal that they're just going to screw him over on as soon as he's out of office. It's the stupidest deal of all time. When from the very beginning, he had all of the authority, and time again, it's delivered at his feet, the mandate of the people. 2016, he should have hit the ground running. He should have thrown Hillary in prison. He should have imprisoned Comey, imprisoned Page, imprisoned Strzok, made deals with them. You're going to prison for the rest of your life unless you tell us who organized this. This wouldn't be hard. This wouldn't be difficult. This wouldn't be complicated. It's all there. All the evidence you could ever possibly need. Nothing is ever done. Then he gets 2024, where not only does he not move to the center, he doubles down on everything. He goes further on immigration, further on the wall, further on everything. He wins an even greater share of the vote. Meaning he was delivered a mandate with all three branches of government and a stamp of approval from the American people, left and right, because of his coalition building, because of the Make America Healthy Again movement that joined his cause. It was at his feet. All he had to do was pick it up. He just didn't do it. He just didn't feel like it. He felt like going to war with Iran instead. Then you had the Charlie Kirk murder. And once again, the outpouring of hatred from the left had everybody who was talking about it in the days after the Charlie Kirk murder excited, going, this is going to be great. We're going to round all these people up. All these scumbags, you know, now we know who they are. Now they've killed Charlie Kirk. They're about to see the hammer's about to come down. Yeah, because people thought Trump actually loved Charlie Kirk. They thought he actually cared about, you know, his biggest supporter being murdered. They thought this would be, you know, get an emotional reaction and there would be a crackdown. And guess what? I literally said, I don't know if it was in the clip we played this week, but on September 11th, 2025, the day after Charlie Kirk was murdered, I made the case, like, look, if Trump came out today and said, we're rounding up every Antifa member, you think I'd complain about freedom of speech? You think I'd complain about overreach of government? No, it was a moment when we had the emotional paradigm, we had the emotional initiative to actually make tangible, real, devastating impact on the growth of Antifa, the far left, the extremist. We could have. We didn't. So whether it was the first administration and the fraud, or hell, you could even say 2020 was another golden opportunity, where once again, he was right about the election being stolen. And if Trump was a better man, honestly, was like better at what he's trying to do, had better people, if he didn't let William Barr destroy the investigation, multiple investigations, if he didn't let the people around him, you know, present him with all this nonsense. Like, he never once, I remember at the time begging him, going, what is Trump doing? Like, in that time period between the election of 2020 and January 6th, probably every day I did a show, I kept being like, what is Trump doing? Why does he not come out and give a freaking presentation, give a PowerPoint slide show, show us what's, show the graphs that show the vertical line, show the reports from, do a primetime address where you have all of this data, you have all this evidence, and you present it in a slideshow. Stick to the script. Instead, we would get speech after speech with all these vagaries and all these like weird things about, I don't know, Italy and like nonsense. There was so much evidence. There was so much proof. It never got presented. It never got argued for. I would argue that was another chance where Trump had all of the justification in the world. It would have been correct morally, and I would argue even legally, for him to say, this election was fraudulent. I'm not going anywhere. We're investigating this. We're getting to the bottom of this. Anybody trying to stop me is in on the steal and is going to be complicit. Does that sound too extreme? What did they do on January 6th? I mean, they literally came out and said, we're doing a shock and awe campaign. We're going to arrest the most prominent people first. Is that law and order? Is that, you know, let the punishment meet the crime? No, that's specifically targeting political activists because of their political activism. They did that. They've never even been punished for that. The people that threw my friends in prison attempted to do it for the rest of their lives, but certainly destroyed their lives, cost them hundreds of thousands of dollars, stuck them in solitary confinement for months on end. The people that did that to them have not paid a single price. Never spent a single minute looking over their shoulder, wondering if they'd be arrested. They have no concern about that. Most of them still have jobs. Most of them are still working in the same offices that they used to abuse and destroy the lives of American people over their political positions. And Trump has done nothing to do any of that. So the Republican Party has failed. And they have failed to preserve the United States. They have failed to such a degree that it's not like they're going to go away. We're all going to go away. They have taken on the mantle of American patriotism, and then they did nothing to actually progress that. They have taken all of the energy, all of the populist energy, all of the popularity. They said all the right things. They pretended to believe all the right positions. Then they got into office and they screwed us over on behalf of Israel. And either a new Republican Party has to emerge from the ashes and actually support America and actually be America first and actually support policies that make any sort of sense for the people that live here. Or we might as well just, we're just Soviet Union 2.0, and we'll have Trump himself to thank for that. Nobody else.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks, you've seen the deplatforming, you've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out of the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones. And the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial. And this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Well, folks, we still have a lot more to cover in this final segment of the War Room Live for this Friday broadcast. Look, everything I'm about to say is allegedly, all right? In fact, I don't even believe this. I think this is crazy. I would never accuse this person of conspiring with the communist Chinese, but Google's Gemini, they seem to think this is the case. So I'm just going to report on this incredibly stupid conclusion that Gemini came to. I mean, can you believe this thing? Basically, I asked who the person was that Professor Ding Dong was talking about. I'm not talking about that. But if y'all want to bring up my computer screen, you know, this Ding Zhong person. It must have, stopped over. I'll restab it here. All right. Because I do have to present this. So let me know when you have my computer screen. So Professor Ding Dong from China was bragging about how he forced a American bookstore owner to host his communist propaganda gathering. And he brags about, you know, the Chinese having old friends in America who could help them get things done. But he refuses to mention who the woman is. And I asked Grok and I asked ChatGPT to identify the woman, and they both came back with the answer, well, the guy didn't say who the woman was. He said he didn't say her name. Got a little frustrated, so I went to Gemini. Y'all don't sleep on Gemini. I didn't know this, but I was talking to somebody who's really into AI. Apparently, because Gemini is Google, it gets access to like Google's index, and it gets like literally hundreds of times more sources, like news sources, than any other AI. I don't know if that's true or not. I do know that it did the research that Grok and ChatGPT either didn't know or wouldn't do, didn't know how or wouldn't do. So I asked them, I said, well, who's this lady he's talking about? There can't be that many Jewish American ladies in American politics who live in Beijing and speak fluent Mandarin, can there? And so it answered me. Said, you are entirely correct. The demographic intersection of elderly Jewish American woman, a top Wall Street executive, a fluent Mandarin speaker with a Beijing accent, and the owner of a historic courtyard house near China's political center is an absolute needle in a haystack. Because the profile is so incredibly narrow, internet sleuths and China analysts immediately zeroed in on the exact same logic. When they parsed the elite circle of American expatriates in Beijing, only one person emerged as a close circumstantial match, along with a broader theory about who Di Dongsheng was actually referring to. When the video went viral, Chinese social media and foreign policy observers overwhelmingly pointed to Roberta Lipson. Roberta Lipson. So she is a prominent Jewish American woman who moved to Beijing in 1979. She speaks fluent Mandarin and has been deeply embedded in Beijing's elite circle and political circles for over four decades. She's one of a few high-profile Westerners known to have lived in traditional Beijing courtyard house. She's a highly successful businesswoman, but she's not a Wall Street investment banker, which the professor claimed that she was. She is actually the founder of United Family Healthcare, a massive network of private premium hospitals in China. And by the way, she did have, you know, a thing or two to do with the outbreak of COVID. So if you want to look up who she is, because Lipson is one of the most famous American women living in Beijing who fits the cultural and residential profile, many believe Di Dongsheng used her recognizable persona as the baseline for his story, but swapped her actual industry, healthcare, for Wall Street because the financial titan sounds much more powerful and sinister for his presentation's thesis. The alternative, the fixer composite, if D was not exaggerating Lipson's profile, the alternative consensus among intelligence analysts is that he is referring to a high-level corporate lobbyist or fixer rather than actual bank president. Firms like Kissinger Associates, APCO Worldwide, and the U.S.-China Business Council have historically employed elite Western consultants to smooth over bureaucratic friction for multinational corporations in Beijing. Analysts suggested that he may have been conflating or intentionally blurring the identities of real-world figures such as veteran China hand Jan Barris, vice president of the National Committee on U.S.-China Relations, who is Jewish and deeply involved in high-level exchanges, or executives tied to Goldman Sachs CEO Hank Paulson's circle to protect an actual asset while still bragging about his access. So yeah, it might not be the Roberta, what was her name again? Roberta Lipson. Another candidate could be Jan Barris or somebody in Hank Paulson's circles. Ultimately, because the owners of the Politics and Prose bookstore firmly established that the dramatic showdown and subsequent Wall Street intervention never actually happened, which you got to wonder about. You got to wonder what the threat was, where they gave interviews where they said, no, that never happened. We were happy to have Xi Jinping. Oh. She does, in fact, look distinctly Jewish, as the Chinese professor claimed. So there is that. Check on that box, too. So they claim it never actually happened. We are left with a logical paradox. You cannot find the true identity of a woman who saved the book launch because the book launch never needed saving. Dong Deng Sheng was certainly weaponizing the real hyper-exclusive profile of somebody like Roberta Lipson, adding Wall Street upgrade, inventing a heroic back-channel victory to impress his audience. Well, certainly he's a egotistical liar. Nobody's denying that. But I believe him. I believe him. But you'll notice that this is sort of common, isn't it? It's actually a well-established alliance between the elite Jews and China and the Chinese communists. I mean, where do you think the Chinese Communist Party got its start? It was Wall Street bankers. It was absolutely Wall Street bankers. The old friends he refers to. And then don't forget that Miriam Adelson doesn't really have a large stake in casinos here in America anymore. Her wealth, Sheldon Adelson's wealth, was built on casinos in Las Vegas. They sold stakes in Vegas. All of their money now comes from Macau, I believe, or Malaysia. No, it's Macau. So they have casinos in Macau, which is under Chinese control. So Miriam Adelson, the Israel First donor who controls Trump and sent us to war with Iran, she somehow operates billion-dollar businesses inside the power block of communist China. And they let her do it. They let her operate her casinos, despite the fact that she is ostensibly Donald Trump's biggest supporter, and he ostensibly is China's biggest enemy. None of this is accurate. Like, none of this is being presented honestly. And even just the few details I've laid out here should give you insight into what's actually happening behind the scenes. But we'll move on now, but it's pretty interesting. And if you look up Roberta Lipsum, she's not exactly anonymous. She's actually very involved in Chinese-American relationships. She's very public. There's lots of interviews with her and things like that. But apparently she's like, you know, a godfather-level mafiosa in the Jewish/Chinese mob, which is just fascinating, just very interesting. We got a few more clips here because, you know, all of this is, again, a little bit confusing because if we go to clip number 20 here, this was a clip from either earlier this year or last year of Donald Trump talk about how important it was that we open up our universities to over 500,000 Chinese students. It's kind of inconsistent with the whole China's our enemy and tried to overthrow our republic thing. Let's go to clip 20 now.
But I think people would argue they worry about, did they have nefarious intentions?
Sure, I know, and we worry about that. And honestly, you know, they do things to us and we do things to them. It's a very, very fine line, the whole thing with students. So they have 500,000 students. And our university system does great. You know, it does great. You want to screw it up? Take a 500,000 students out, and you're gonna see bankruptcies at the lower end of good colleges, but they're not known or whatever. You're gonna have a lot of problems. So, it's something I'm always looking at, but it's a very insulting thing to tell a country we don't want your people in our schools. I mean, it really is. Now I'll have people say, "Oh, that's a terrible thing." You know, it is a very insulting thing.
They show that over a period of years, starting during the 2020 election cycle, the People's Republic of China carried out what is believed to be the largest compromise of election data in history, resulting in China's illicit acquisition of 220 million U.S. voter files. That information includes names, addresses, phone numbers, political party preferences, and other sensitive data that would be needed to register to vote and engage in other nefarious activities, which is exactly what was happening. This data loss presents an unprecedented election security nightmare. The intelligence even shows that China has signed a data exploitation unit specifically to this new project. Compounding the travesty, the second set of documents we are releasing reveals that members of the deep state, very, very famous group of people, many cases, in our intelligence agency work to actively suppress and downplay information about the extent of China's sinister election meddling, covering it up from both the president and the American people like nobody thought was possible.
So there's an inconsistency here. So China's this major threat, but we're allowing 500,000 of their students into our university. I don't think I need to remind you if you watch this show, but you do understand that the reason we're allowing Chinese students into our universities is because we made a deal with China to force them to sell TikTok to Israel, right? That we were doing a big negotiation with China. All of these things were involved, but the real purpose of it, the ultimate goal for the people whose opinion matters was, we have to force China to sell us TikTok. They knew how desperate Israel was to get their hands on TikTok because they blamed TikTok for showing people what they were doing and therefore ruining their reputation. So they had to get TikTok. They felt like it was a life or death situation. China knows all this. They know that Israel's desperate to get TikTok, and they know that America is Israel's bitch. So they hold America over the fire, and they squeezed these concessions out of us in exchange for selling TikTok to Israel so they could continue to commit genocide and censor the videos of it. You ever just stop and think about stuff like that? Do you ever just stop and think about how insane all of this is? That America is opening up its university to Chinese communist students to the tune of 500,000. Also, a foreign nation can buy a social media platform to hide videos of their war crimes from the American people so they continue to get billions of dollars from America. You ever just stop and think about that? you ever just sit for a moment and really let that soak in? Because that's a doozy. That's a big one. But it's absolutely true. You cannot deny it. They don't say it, so the average person doesn't think of it. But you can think of it yourself. You can think about these things all on your own. You do not need Israel to come out and say, we are making America take students so that China gives us TikTok. And literally, people, like, without an explicit admission like that, people will think you're crazy. But let's see. There are negotiations. The main part of those negotiations were about TikTok. One of the main concessions we made in those those negotiations were the 500,000 students. What did we get in exchange for that? You can't point to anything other than what we got, which was TikTok. That's why we did this. We sold out our youngest generation, replaced them in school with a bunch of Chinese communist infiltrators. Also, Israel could cover up their war crimes so they could keep getting American money to commit war crimes. This is our current political structure worldwide. It's very frustrating. I find it extremely frustrating. And by the way, let's go to clip number 33 here, as if you needed a reminder of this. But just to reemphasize the fact that there are no barriers to doing the right thing in America. If the government wanted, I mean, the excuses they come up with, they don't even make sense. Like, this is why I was trying to come up with an idea of like some example where it's just something so easy, so simple, and they just won't do it. They just won't do it. So, you know, at a certain point, you have to understand that they're just not going to do it. And by it, I mean literally anything that will help America. They're not going to do it. Because they don't want to. Not because they can't. Because I know they can. I've seen what they're able to do. Look at what they did to get TikTok out of China's hands. Right? Let's go to clip 33 here. Just a little refresher about the fact that the Republican Party, with all three branches of government, cannot pass voter security. They cannot pass the SAVE Act. They cannot do something that has absolute overwhelming majority support from every demographic in America. They still can't do it. Let's watch.
Look here, favor photo ID to vote. 85% of white people favor it. 82% of Latino, 76% of black Americans favor it. So the bottom line is this. Voter ID is not controversial in this country. A photo ID to vote is not controversial in this country. It is not controversial by party, and it is not controversial by race. The vast majority of Americans agree with Nicki Minaj that, in fact, you should have a photo ID to be able to vote.
And, of course, the joke these days, and I'm in a joke, but the real funny situation these days is that Olive Garden brought back all-you-can-eat pasta, but you have to have an ID. Olive Garden all-you-can-eat pasta has better security than the United States federal elections. So, it's not even a joke. I mean, that's just actually true. Which, again, is just insane. Everybody wants this, but they won't do it. So, I think this is the point that, like, you know, Thomas Jefferson was talking about in the Declaration of Independence when, like, the government that's been impaneled for the purpose of serving the people cannot even do the most simple things that everybody in the country wants. I think it's no longer fit for purpose. it doesn't do the main thing it's supposed to do. It does the opposite every single time. Maybe we need to overthrow the government and replace it with a better one that will actually do what it's supposed to. Maybe we've reached that point. Because there are a few things that just about everybody in the country wants right now. Voter ID is one of them. We can't get it done. And as far as I could tell, everybody in the country on both sides of the aisle think that Section 219 of the NDAA is a complete act of treason and will be merging our government and our military with a foreign military. It is asinine and suicidal, and nobody wants it. But every single Republican voted for it. Every single one, except for Thomas Massie. And I think this is a very good suggestion as to why that might be. Clip 36. Here's maybe one of the reasons why Republicans would all universally, ubiquitously, all except for Thomas Massie, vote for something that nobody in America wants. Let's watch.
Why is it only Democrats who sign on? Why don't any Republicans? Because every single Republican
voted against Massie's amendment.
Yeah, everyone voted against it and voted to give aid to Israel. So why is it only Democrats who he can work with on this?
I think Republicans are concerned what might happen to them after watching what happened to Thomas Massie. I mean, Thomas Massie just had tens of millions of dollars dumped on his head in Kentucky and lost a district that he'd won for more than a decade. And I think it is a function of political fear.
100%. Because the Thomas Massie race was an act of political terrorism by Jews, by the Jewish coalition, Miriam Adelson, and the elite Jews who took over the Republican Party. That was a act of terrorism to inspire this exact result, that now every single Republican is terrified to vote against Israel. Terrified. Because they know Thomas Massie is not anti-Israel. They know Thomas Massie didn't put a bill on the floor to eradicate Israel entirely. He just is a fiscal conservative and didn't want to send him money. Just like he doesn't want to send anybody money. But that's enough. That's enough for the Israelis to want to utterly and completely destroy you and go to the ends of the earth and do it obviously, do it in a blatant way. They don't care. So absolutely, that was an investment. Not just an investment in getting rid of Thomas Massie, an investment in ensuring the absolute subjectivity of the Republicans from here on out. They are now fully bought and paid for, terrified little serf slaves of the Israelis, because they know a single vote in the wrong direction, they'll get the Thomas Massie treatment. And they proved that they could take one of, if not the most popular congressman in the Republican Party. I think Thomas Massie would probably top that list, especially in his own district. The man who last time Donald Trump endorsed his opponent, Thomas Massie still won with 80% of the vote. He was untouchable. He was sovereign in his locale. And the Jewish lobby came in with a complete unknown who never did any events, never did a single debate, and won through mail-in balloting. They bragged about it. John Podoretz said, this is what it's going to be like. It's like going into a buzzsaw to go against us. Republicans received that message loud and clear because they're all cowards. Utter, ridiculous cowards. The reaction should be the exact opposite. When you see the way that Israel destroys Thomas Massie, your only response should be, I will be voting against everything pro-Israel from here on out. They cannot be treating our politicians this way and expect our support. How dare they? And if like two or three of these old decrepit bone bags in Congress felt like standing up, they don't have enough resources to do it to three or four people. They can do it to Thomas Massie. They can hyper-focus on one. And this is the strategy, and this is what we have to learn. Without collective action, they pick you off one by one. Thomas Massie stands up, they cut his head off, and everybody else stays down. If two more people stood up, the whole thing is broken. The whole system, the whole operation is shattered if just one or two people break the fear programming and stand up and do what's right. They rely on total submission. 100% submission. and to treat people like Thomas Massie as an example. They made an example of him. And all of the cowards in Congress dutifully bowed their head. So I'll never vote against anything again. Against Israel, never again. No, absolutely not. Oh, I couldn't survive what they did to Massie. Economic, political terrorism being inflicted on these people. And that's not the only one. This is how brazen these people are getting. Representative Fine vows to vote against House rules over feud with Trump advisor. A social media spat between Fine, Randy Fine, and outsider White House advisor Alex Dershowitz could cut into a Republican's already thin House majority. Randy Fine has told White House officials he plans to vote against every rule that comes across the House floor until President Donald Trump removes advisor Alex Dershowitz from his team, three sources tell Notice. For weeks, Fine, a Republican from Florida, has been telling colleagues he wants Trump to get rid of Dershowitz. Why? Because he doesn't think he's good for Israel. So here is a perfect example of a so-called Republican congressman deliberately going, I am now a barrier to your Republican agenda because, in my opinion, your advisor doesn't like Israel enough. So for the benefit of Israel, I will now be holding your agenda hostage, President Trump. You will no longer get your agenda done until you do what I think is best for Israel. I'm a representative from Florida. This is crazy. Like, legitimately insane. Because Alex Dershowitz isn't an Israel firster, I guess, because he went on Tucker Carlson, and Randy Fine thinks that's bad for Israel, he's voting against Donald Trump's agenda for America to punish them. When you're here, you're American. We'll make sure. That's good. So, you know, at a certain point, we got to understand, like, our entire governmental structure is literally run by the Jewish mafia. And at this point, they're so unafraid of punishment or recompense or being voted out of office or American politicians standing up for themselves that, like, they're really being blatant about it all. Again, if Randy Fine is voting against Trump's agenda because Trump didn't do what he thinks is best for Israel and firing Alex Dershowitz, he's got to go. He is literally being a barrier to what the American president wants because he wants to benefit Israel. He's a traitor. This is like treason, like openly. But they know they're not going to suffer from it, so they just keep doing it. Maybe they need to suffer from all of this treason they keep committing. Maybe.
They called me crazy. They called me paranoid. But now they know I was right. Tonight, more conspiracies that turned out to be true on this episode of I Told You So.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
We're doing man's work here. Fighting for the species as our forebears did. Building. Competing. Striving. Trailblazing. The maverick spirit is alive and well. Reality starts here. Victory starts here. Tyranny dies here. Freedom grows here. You have the power in your hands right now before we cover all this incredible game-changing over-the-horizon information to share the live feeds now at rumble.com/ The Alex Jones Show Live, the coordinates of victory, and Real Alex Jones on X at AJN Live, and more. AlexJonesLive.com, our news site with the feeds, video, audio, article, special reports, government documents, think tank reports, and more.
AlexJonesLive.com, because there is a war on for your mind.
That's what I want, and that's what you should want.
AlexJonesLive.com.
days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.